This slowly expanded and filled some quarter and part of the sphere of space and then stayed in its enlarging. It began to revolve and seemed to take upon itself somewhat of solidity. But it was not solid as matter is solid. If you will imagine an earth material still but yet etherealized halfway into transparency, though you have the look of it. As it went round upon its axis there appeared shapes of lands and waters upon its outer circumference. These were not similar in outline with those of Earth as they are today. We were now being shown our future sphere of work, and these were changing as they are now changing on Earth's surface, but more quickly. The ages ahead of you are foreshortened for us and we read them as a moving model. There appeared also the cities and their peoples and animals also, and the engines which the people made for their several uses. And as the globe turned its surface to us, continually revolving, we were able to see the progress of it all. I mean this, Dake, in token of other lands, your own islands. I noted them first as they will be a few years hence. Then they sailed round out of view. When they came before us again they had become changed a little in configuration of coastlines, and as to their cities and people. So, as the globe revolved, these lands, and the whole human race and their works of building and engines of locomotion and all their handiwork progressed in their ages, but condensed from millennia into hours. I must suit my words to your way of thinking, my son. Years have not the same significance to us as they have to you. Now it would not be permitted to me to fish for you in the deeps of future ages. You of Earth must net your own supper. That is as it should be. Nevertheless, it is permitted to me to tell you where the fishing grounds are likely to be. Then those who will think of me as a good admiral will set their sail to my chart, and out upon their quest. So. Now, the earth became more beautiful as it sailed round upon its voyage of the ages. The light increased upon its surface, and its mass became more radiant from within. The peoples also hurried not so greatly here and there, for nature had become more at one with them and yielded more genially to their abundance. So their lives were less fevered and more given to meditation. Thus they became ever more in harmony one with others, and all them more nearly attuned to us who were able, in our turn, to spend upon them a larger degree of our power and of our sweeter peace. As this attunement advanced it infused us with a measure of happiness to know we had gained for ourselves, after much stress of warfare, these younger companions of our ancient race. It was very sweet to us, my son. And gradually Earth itself was changed. Let me tell you. You have a new word among you which I have seen in the mind of you and of others, psychometry. I understand it signifies that faculty by which from solid things some incident of the past is read by reason of a sort of vibrant record left in those solids by events in which they have had a part. Now, there is a truth here which will not be fully known to you until the substance which you call ether has yielded up to your scientists the secrets of its composition and the forces inherent in its atoms. The time will come, we saw this plainly as we watched the globe revolving, when you will be able to deal, both analytically and synthetically, with this cosmic ballast which you call ether. You will deal with it as now you do with liquids and with gases. But that is not yet. For your bodies are still much too gross that you should be permitted this great power with safety. Meanwhile your men of scientific mind will be preparing the way. Arnold. And next headline is. And next headline is. Cosmic Psychometry Etheric Planets. Wednesday, April 2, 1919. These psychometric vibrations, therefore, as so we have concluded after study of the matter writ, or indented upon the ether, which suffuses matter. But not that alone. The ether acts upon the substance of matter, and according to the inherent properties which energize through this ether, so does matter become transmuted into a more sublimated substance. These properties come upon ether from the outside of it, invade it, and, using it as a medium between themselves and matter, act upon matter through the ether. For the particles material are held in solution in the ether, as your men of chemistry have told, but they have not yet ventured farther than the vestibule. There lies ahead of them the temple, and within the temple the sanctuary. When they have ventured beyond the vestibule of the material into the temple, of the ethereal, and not until that time, will they begin to understand that this sanctuary is the dynamo from which the ether, and through it matter also is energized. The sanctuary is the abode of spirit. And so you get the scheme of this affair in its due order, namely, spirit impinges upon ether dynamically from the outside, that is, from that realm which is superior, both in powers as in degree of sublimity as to its basic substance. It energizes ether, which, in its turn, acts on and refines those particles which, with itself, make up the substance matter. But this action is not automatic, it is willful. Where will is there also is implied personality. It is individuals expressing their personality who give character to the ether, and the consequence is faithfully carried on into matter. It therefore issues in this, that according to the degree in holiness of those spiritual entities who operate on matter through ether, so is that matter the more gross or less gross in substance of its mass. The quality of the matter of which earth and all things thereon are made is, therefore, responsive to the character of those spiritual individuals who act upon it willfully. These are spirits both incarnate and discarnate. And so it came to pass that as the people of earth progressed spiritually higher, so earth itself gradually but faithfully answered to their influence which was registered upon the substance of which earth is built up. Matter became less gross and more ethereal. One. That is why it became brighter with radiance from within as we saw it revolving. It was no more nor no less than cosmic psychometry in mass, but essentially identical with that you at present know manifested in detail. As earth and its peoples became more and more etherealized, so the hosts spiritual were able with greater ease to consort with those peoples, and their conversation was both more frequent and more free than it is today. And, to shorten my story, we came to that period when progress had been made to such a degree that the communion of spirits with people of earth was normal and continual. Then it became possible that one great manifestation be made of which I will tell you anon. But this first, I leave out constellations and speak now of our own sun and his planetary system. So, those planets which your scientists have charted are, say they, material. They have noted further that the matter of which these planets are made is not identical in the proportions of those ingredients which go to make up their material mass, but they have not yet proceeded to register one other factor which enters into the causes of difference of density. This is the spiritual factor of which I have told you, and which has entered into the evolution of some of these planets so as to produce them forward on their evolutionary pilgrimage ahead of Earth. There are others which are not visible to you of Earth, for they are those which have progressed in their etherealization beyond the material, and have become ethereal. They may be seen by those who live on planets of like substance. They are not spiritual, but between the material and the spiritual estate. Their inhabitants are cognizant of the other planets of which Earth is one, and they act upon these planets very powerfully, being at the same time more progressed than Earth people, and yet nearer in estate than the spiritual people are. These of which I speak are true planets of themselves. But there are other ethereal planets, so to say it. One of these encompasses Earth, for it is of the engrossed ether of which this ethereal planet is composed that Earth is suffused. This is not merely a belt of ether solely for service of Earth. It has its own continents and oceans and peoples. Most of these have lived on Earth in bygone ages, and some have never been Earth dwellers, never having reached material manifestation in body of flesh and blood. Is that what some call the astral plane? The name is not understood equally by those who use it. But, as yourself have read it and understand it, this ethereal planet of which I speak is not it. It is what I have said of it. Those of humankind who have come to be there are old denizens as we have been told, and their residence there is uncertain as to its future duration. They are a kind of byproduct of humanity of Earth in long ages past. Do you pass through this ethereal planet on your way to Earth from the higher spheres? Locally we must do so. But we are not responsive to its environment in normal as we pass through it. We are not sensibly conscious of its presence. It has not relation to the spheres 1, 2, 3, as I have spoken of them in their degree by numbers. It is another order of creation, and a very strange one. It lies away off the highway of our goings, so that I know little of detail concerning it. What I have told you, and a little more, was explained to us in order to help us to account for some erratic events which perplexed us much until this new factor was brought to our knowledge. And then we understood. Arnal. And next headline is. The manifestation of the Christ. Consummate the hymn of things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth, Philippians 2, 10, Revelation v. 3. Thursday, April 3, 1919. Now that we have cleared the ground, my son, we will tell you of the manifestation which was given us. Its purpose was to show us to what end the present evolution was tending, in order that we might with a greater assurance set our course ahead. Earth, as we beheld it before us, had come to that stage when the ethereal and the material had almost equal place in content. The bodies of men were still of matter, but purified and more readily co-responsive with the heavens of spirit life than in former times, these same times in which you live today. Earth had responded to the upliftment, and the vegetation which it produced lay upon its bosom almost as sentient as a babe upon his mother's breast. No kingdoms were upon earth, but one confederacy of peoples whose colors were not so diverse, each from other, as they are today. Science also was not the science of Europe as it is now, but the powers of ethereal dynamics being understood, the whole life of men was transformed. I will not go farther into detail. That is no affair of mine. I lay the stage in its setting only so you may the more clearly discern what came upon us for our instruction. The light grew ever brighter from within earth, still spinning upon its axis slowly, until it shone upon the encircling hosts of us, and we were brighter also for its radiance. Then out of this terrestrial light there came forth in their myriads all those half-rational forces which have their place among the elements of earth. These were very strange in their shapes, and also in their movements. I had not seen these until now, and I was very greatly intent upon their manners. These I speak of were those impersonal forces which ensure cohesion in minerals, and those by which the vegetation is infused with its life, and those who are guardians of animals in their kinds. The mineral entities were not much sentient in themselves until magnetized by those great lords of creation whose province it was to sustain this realm in its orders. But the vegetable entities had in themselves a formed and subjective faculty of sensation with which to respond to the forces poured upon them by their own rulers. That is why change in substance is of quicker operation in the vegetable than in the mineral, as it issues visibly in growth. And for this same cause the obverse is consequent when the personality of man is introduced in interference with their normal state of development. When two opposing, or two minerals with a chemical attraction are brought into contact in solution, as in chemistry, their action toward or against one another respectively is immediately and violently displayed, because they have so little sentience to oppose this exoteric influence. But when the vegetable world is invaded by the cultivator, the response of the plant is more tardy and deliberate, because it opposes its inherent sentience to such disturbance of its normal method of growth. The animal entities, however, had full sensation in themselves, and also a modicum of personality, and their lords were very splendid in their array. These all came forth of earth and, leaving its surface, took up their stations in middle space between us and earth. Then from the void between us and them emerged into visibility their rulers. I cannot outline their aspect to you because you have nothing for comparison on earth, although they are very busy in your midst, nevertheless. I will be content with saying that as we looked upon each we knew, from the aspect of him, that department of nature of which he was ruler. Whether it were atmosphere or gold or oak or tiger, his dominion was writ upon him plainly, in all its beauty, form, and the substance of his body, and countenance, and garment all expressed his kingdom. Some had clothing, some had none, but the grandeur of these great lords is very majestic in strength and comeliness. All had their retinue who were ordered in their degrees. These had charge of the subdivisions of their kingdoms and linked up their lords with the animals or forces which those lords controlled. Now, how shall I tell you of their contact when they mingled together with their creatures who emerged out of the earth light? I will say it thus, As their retinues approached the earth creatures, a movement was made among them by which they encompassed their lord. They did not hide him, and yet they clothed him. Then the earth forces also, as they met with these higher formations, became blended with them, and the result was a panoply over earth which armored earth while it enshrined it. In effect, earth, radiant now more than it was before, became in the midst of a canopy of living entities which draped above and on all sides of it like the curtains of a pavilion enshrining a throne. Earth now shone like one great and very beautiful pearl, but with veins of green and gold and crimson and amber and blue upon it. And within it shone its native light aglow with fire of worship about its heart, which throbbed with life and happiness as the impulses of the creative lords and their myriads invaded it and wooed from it this responsive and shimmering loveliness. Then beneath that living canopy the form of the Christ appeared. It was as the Christ consummate that he now appeared. I have been hard put to tell you how he looked when I had seen him previously. How shall I tell you of his appearing now? His body was of translucent substance, and in perfect equipoise of harmony it blended within itself all those distinctive colors, both of earth and of the myriads surrounding. He stood upon the great radiant pearl. It still revolved beneath his feet, yet he stood steadfast. Its movement had no effect upon his station there. He had no garment, but the glory of all the various departments of life suspended around him surged through their own great lords and was directed upon him in streams of worship. This became instead of robe about him, and filled the shrine within which he stood with a radiance of his face was calm and reposeful. But his brow wore an aspect of great majesty or power. Divinity seemed to clothe him like a cloak upon his shoulders and fell behind him in rich folds of violet-tinted light. Now we were all around and above and below him encompassing earth, yet there was no front or rear, and no above and below to him. All of us and each of us saw him whole front, rear and through. You will not understand this. I say it and leave it. It was so. As we saw him then. Then there came voices of all those myriad orders, each great company in its own proper order grouped, and each sounding its own appropriate anthem of worship, and yet all blended together as one chord of creative harmony which filled our heavens and all the spaces about the planets in their orbits, and had response of those who in the outlands of space held vigil over their special planetary charges. Such a hymn as this, it is plain, I cannot put into words of a single people of our planet Earth. But, using your English words, I will tell you, so far as I am able, of what we enchanted, blending our worship with that of those other orders of the universe in one grand stream of concerted praise. What lies beyond you in the deeps of space we know not yet, and Earth is but a mote in the rays of your heavenly Sunday, but this we know, since we have seen this province of your kingdom, Christ of the Father, that what is the beyond is wholly good. What comes to meet us out of the eternities ahead of us, on the road we go, what peoples there abide, what sort of princes rule these, too, we know not now. Yet we go forward fearless, for we follow you, O Christ. Upon your shoulders sit twin power and love embracing each other in your crown of majesty. Who the further is we know, for we have seen you his beloved, and we have loved you also. So our love meets with the Father's love in you as a private place. We know him in you, and we are content. You are very wonderful and beautiful, beloved, yet all your beauty cannot be shown to us, it is so great. But in that future enterprise we adventure forth all strong of heart and buoyant and unafraid. And you still lead us, we will follow you, Christ consummate of wisdom, of strength and of creative love. We pay you our due worship, ordered and in our degrees. Content us with the benediction of your peace. Arnal.